Open your Bibles again to Luke 10, and I'd like to bring you a message on this tale of two sisters, Mary and Martha. I preached on this passage on my vacation to a church down in Denton, Texas, just outside of Dallas. I gave them your greetings, and they send their greetings to you. This short story, verses 38 to 42, is only found in Luke, not in Matthew, Mark, or John. It doesn't have any miracles. There are no healings. In fact, it's not even a long sermon by Jesus. It's just a very short thing that he says. But it's very rich. As you study the Bible, you'll notice that it's like a field with diamonds on top that even a child can pick up. But if you dig down, you find rubies and emeralds, and you keep digging, you find nuggets of gold. This section is like that too. There's some things on the surface, but we're going to dig a little bit deeper for some more of those nuggets and precious gems. Now, the main lesson of this section is this. Like Mary, we need to humbly sit at Jesus' feet and lovingly listen to his words. Look at the text here. Jesus shows up at a certain village. We know elsewhere that that's Bethany, not far from Jerusalem. And it says a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now in John 11 and 12, we know that there was Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, and evidently they lived together, though it says it was her house. She was the older of the two sisters. Now, Mary and Martha are the center of this because it doesn't mention Lazarus, but we have to see the context. Who were these two sisters? Well, they were followers of Jesus. Turn back just a couple of chapters to chapter 8. In addition to the large crowds that believed in Jesus and the 12 apostles that were, I guess you'd say, his assistants, his apprentices, one of them was Judas, he was a traitor, there were also a number of female disciples that not only followed Jesus, but they ministered to Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Turn back to Luke 10. Mary and Martha were amongst that group of what traditionally we have called the holy women. Mary Magdalene and several other Marys and Susanna and others. And they provided for Jesus food, and maybe they did the laundry and other things like that. They would run errands. These were disciples. That tells us that God has a place for Christian women today to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does not allow them to be pastors and elders, but has given them other gifts to serve in many other ways. And we see that with Mary and Martha here. So on this occasion, Jesus shows up evidently unannounced at the home of Mary and Martha, and in come the 12 apostles. Now picture that scene. How would you ladies like to have 13 hungry men show up at your house unexpectedly, and you have to provide for them? You have to cook the meals, get the dishes and everything ready. And that's the situation that challenged Martha. And notice how Mary reacted in a completely different way. Let's first look at Martha. Verse 40 says that she was distracted. Verse 41 says she was worried and bothered. The problem with her wasn't so much that work that had to be done, but her attitude, and it was markedly different than her sister. It kept her from being close to Jesus. And here's our first lesson. Like Martha, we also often get caught up in necessary things, but that eats away at our time with Jesus. Bible has a term for this, the cares of this life. It's found three times in the New Testament where we get caught up in taking care of the children, food, cleaning the house, going to work. Soccer moms have to take those children to football and soccer and things like that. Many other things that are good and necessary, just like feeding Jesus. But it sometimes keeps us away from Jesus rather than drawing us closer to Jesus. So we follow the bad example of Martha here in her attitude. And we're not talking about sinful things that keep us from Jesus, but the cares of this life. I imagine everybody here knows just what I'm talking about. At the end of the day, you said, man, what a long day it was. I didn't even have time to pray or read my Bible. We need to set aside those special times like Mary did. You know, it says in Luke 21, Jesus told the story of the parable of the sower, and you know what it stands for. Man planting seeds, and some of the seeds falls on this ground and on that ground. And it says one of these seeds falls on a place where the crows come and pick it up, and it says the cares of this life prevent that seed from taking root. That's what stops some unbelievers from believing in Jesus. I remember witnessing to a friend of mine many years ago that ran a bookshop, and he says, Kurt, I'm just trying to make a living and trying to stay alive. I'm not interested in other things. He was caught up in the cares of this life. You ever feel like that? Caught up in the cares of this life, trying to make a living, pay taxes, take care of the kids, take care of yourself. Set aside time with Jesus. So whenever you feel like Martha, distracted, worried, take time to be alone with Jesus and learn the lesson of Mary. So what we see here now is Martha just about had it. She takes her frustrations out first on Mary. Lesson is that when we are like Mary, we can expect other people to take their frustrations out on us. They just don't understand. Martha didn't understand why Mary was so close to Jesus and not helping her. So she said, Jesus, tell my sister to come over here and help me. She's taking her frustrations out on Mary and on Jesus. She's actually scolding him. Don't you care, Jesus? She's scolding him rather than submitting to him. Look at that phrase, do you not care? The exact same words that the apostles used when they were in that fishing boat at night in the storm and it was about to sink. They go wake up Jesus, Lord, do you not care? You ever find yourself saying that? When you're sick, afraid of something in the future, worried, and you prayed and you prayed and the situation hadn't gotten any better. Lord, don't you care? Of course he cares for you. You're his child. You're his son, his daughter. He loves you. He does care, but he cares enough to test our faith. He tested the apostles in the ship. He was testing Martha here. He's testing us in a trial or in the hospital. Here's a good verse. Write it down. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Yes, he does. Martha, he does care for you. And dear brethren, he cares for you too. Now, Martha was a bad example. We should not imitate her complaining or blaming God. She should have said, there's a lesson in this. God is testing me, testing my patience. But don't complain. That's not a virtue. We shouldn't complain to God or to other Christians. We should examine ourselves and say, why am I feeling like this? Why am I feeling squeezed? Well, that's the hand of God squeezing. I remember a preacher said it's like this. If you squeeze a tomato, what comes out? Well, tomato juice, and it comes squirting out your fingers. What comes out is what was already in there. So when God squeezes you in a trial, like Martha, examine your heart and see what comes out. Is it complaining and bitterness? Or is it like Mary, sweetness? Martha told Jesus what to do, and that's the wrong attitude. She should have said, Jesus, what should I do? Not telling him what to do. We can pray, but not command Jesus. So how did Jesus respond to her? Look at his words. Martha, Martha. He wasn't scolding her. He was dealing with her in a very patient way. She was impatient. Jesus wasn't. By the way, there's a lesson here for you husbands. Sometimes you'll come home from work and you'll just see on your wife's face, she's had a long, hard day. Maybe the sweat is rolling down her face and she comes up to you. I'm glad you're here. What a day I've had with the kids and with this and the phone ringing and I'm not feeling well. And not only that, my mother phoned. Don't scold her because the food's not ready. Be like Jesus. Go and give her a hug and just say, honey, I still care. And let her just unload the problems. Jesus didn't scold her. And sometimes a husband needs to be very patient with his wife and not scold her. Be like Jesus. But notice what he says, Martha, Martha. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how often someone uses someone's name twice? Remember when God told Abraham to kill his son on Mount Moriah, and at the very last moment, a voice came, Abraham, Abraham! Moses comes to the burning bush, curious, and God says, Moses, Moses! Many other times on the night before Jesus was crucified, Peter said, I will never deny you. And what did Jesus say? Simon, Simon. When Jesus came into Jerusalem for the last time and he wept over the city, what did he say? Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And there are many other times like this. And in other words, when it's repeated, it's for emphasis in a very personal way. So he's saying, Martha, Martha, as if to say, you're missing something. Martha, this is Jesus here speaking to you. Now, her problem was this. She was serving, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it was too much in one area and not enough in the other. She was thinking, well, I can listen in the background while someone's got to cook the food here and prepare it for Jesus. But she was imbalanced. She didn't get the right perspective like her sister Mary did. Sometimes we get imbalanced in the Christian life. We need to reorder our priorities, just like you look at your budget, you know, something's wrong. There's not enough money left at the end of the month and the end of the bills. We need to reset our priorities also spiritually and say, why am I feeling like this? Maybe my spiritual priorities are not in sync. And we act like Mary and it'll begin, act like Martha and it begins to show. Look at verse 41. Jesus reminds Martha that just a simple meal would have been enough. Martha's putting on a big meal for all these people, maybe trying to impress them. That's not what Jesus wanted. You know, when I travel, as I recently did, and visit people, and people say, come over for a meal, I often know what that means. The wife wants to prepare a big banquet for Kurt. Some fancy casserole and puts out a lot of food that I'm not able to eat because of stomach problems. And they spend all this time and I just say, look, just, and they'll ask me sometimes, well, what can I prepare? I said, just give me a hamburger or a ham sandwich. Oh, no, we want to put out a big, I said, I come to visit you, not your food. You know, order for pizza. That's all I really need. That's kind of what Jesus is saying. Martha, just a simple meal would do. I came to visit you and your sister. She didn't see that. We need to see that. We need to aim for a simple lifestyle so as to free us up for more time with Jesus. Now, there's a popular misunderstanding of this section. People have said, well, we need both Mary and Martha. They're both equally good. And one woman said to me, well, I guess I'm more like Martha and other ones are more like Mary. That misses the whole point of this message. Martha was good. Mary was better. Remember, Jesus said she has chosen the better portion. So it's not like Martha was sinning, except that she complained to Jesus, but she could have been better. Look at your lifestyle. Maybe you're not in flagrant sin. Maybe you're not backslidden. You're a Christian. But there's room for improvement to be more like Mary. And that's why this event is recorded for us. Don't settle for being like Martha. By the way, there's some people that don't even rise to the level of Martha. At least she was serving. Some people don't even do that. But we should strive to be more like Mary than like Martha. Now let's take a look at younger sister Mary. Her name is Mary, and there are at least five women named Mary in the New Testament, because in Hebrew it's the name Miriam, which was perhaps the most common female name among Jews at that time. There was a Miriam that was the older sister of Moses. And this Mary of Bethany is one of my favorite people in the Bible. Let me tell you why. I have a book in my library that's about 150 years old with the intriguing title, Undesigned Coincidences in the Bible. And what the author does is show various little incidents in the Bible, maybe just a phrase, that were not intended by the author to link up, but they were intended and designed by God. Now, as our resident seminary student will tell you, there are motifs in Scripture, and you can link them up like a chain. Do a Bible study on the word water or fire and see how it's used both literally and symbolically in Scripture. And sometimes one writer will pick up on that as a designed lesson. But then there are other undesigned things that I'm sure the author did not have in mind when he put that little seemingly insignificant detail in, but it was designed by God. Now here's an example of this. Look at the text here. Martha was in the kitchen, distracted and everything like this, but where was Mary? Look at verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Don't skip over that detail. It's one of those undesigned coincidences. Let me show you some others. Turn over to John 11 and then also John 12 for this other detail about Mary, the younger sister. Look at John 11. This is at the grave of Lazarus, their brother. Jesus about to raise them up. Martha shows up first and kind of scolds Jesus. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus comforts her and says, I am the resurrection and the life, verse 25. Now skip down to verse 32 when Mary shows up. It says, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, listen closely, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, there's two interesting coincidences. She says the exact same words as Martha. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But if you listen closely, the tone was entirely different. Why? The other detail is she came and fell at the feet of Jesus. Every time you hear about this Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. Turn the page over to John chapter 12. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, and now they're having a party again. Verse 1, it says that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, there they made him a supper. And Martha served. That's what she liked to do. Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So if she anointed his feet, she's at the feet again. Three times we're told she's at the feet of Jesus. Ah, but there's a fourth one. Turn to Matthew 28. When Jesus had risen from the dead, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, verse 1 says. And then there's the angel, and then Peter and John come to the grave, and then Jesus sends them back to the city, and as he's going down the city, he meets these people. Look at verse 9. As they went, and these are the women that are rushing to tell the apostles, as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Mary was one of those. Four times she is mentioned, and in each time she is at the feet of Jesus. That is not a mere human coincidence. Go back to Luke 10. God is teaching us a lesson. What was the good lesson of Mary? She was listening at the feet of Jesus. So let's look at this. She took that place of humility to sit at his feet. Now, think Jewish for just a minute. In the Bible, this is the place where the students would sit at the feet of their teacher, the master, the rabbi. For example, Paul the Apostle said, before he was converted, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the leading rabbis. 100 years later, one of the Jewish writings said this, "Let your house be a meeting house for the wise teachers, and amidst the dust of their feet, and drink in the words that they speak with thirst." In other words, when a rabbi would come, the people that really wanted to hear the word of God came and sat at his feet. You know, on my vacation, I visited a family with a bunch of kids, and when I showed up, they came and sat down. "Show us a trick, Uncle Kurt." It would have touched me more if they would have said, "Teach us the Bible, Uncle Kurt. You're a preacher." Here comes Jesus, shows up. Martha goes to the kitchen. Mary goes to the feet of Jesus, kind of like a little puppy comes to the master's feet and looks up like, "I'm listening, Jesus." That should be our attitude, at the feet of Jesus. And again, we have many examples of this. Elisha learned at the feet of Elijah. I like the story of that Gadarene demoniac that had all those demons cast out of him, and they went into the pigs and the pigs drowned. And this wild man that had the demons cast out of him, notice the detail. It says, "Now they looked at him, fully clothed, in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus." Like a tamed wild animal, now he's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. We should be like that. A man named Jairus came to Jesus, pleading for Jesus to heal his little daughter. And it says he came and knelt at the feet of Jesus. The Syrophoenician woman did the same thing at the feet of Jesus. And many other examples. Brethren, we never feel more at home than when we are at the feet of Jesus. We need to be like Mary. Now, what's her attitude in contrast to older sister Martha? She had an open heart. Humility, love, teachableness, affection. She listened closely to Jesus and hung on every word. Have you ever been with someone, either up close or listening to a famous orator, and you hang on every word, and not just what he said, but how he said it, and even the gestures and the look on his face? Mary was like that with Jesus, hanging on every word, maybe thinking, "Why did he say that? What does he mean by that?" Notice how he said that, the mood and his gesture and the look on his face. She could hardly blink. She wanted to soak in everything. That's how we should be when we listen to Jesus, when we read the Bible, and when we hear his word preached to us. Martha heard, but Mary listened. And there's a big difference. She hung on every word. Literally, the Greek is, she went on listening. Augustine said this, "Martha was absorbed in the matter of how to feed the Lord. Mary was absorbed in the matter of how to be fed by the Lord." All the difference in the world. Brethren, when we come to church, we come to be fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. When you open your Bible and have daily devotions, open it up and study it and open your heart and say, "Lord, feed me. I'm hungry." There's a wonderful verse in the Psalms where God says, "Open your mouth and I will feed you." It's like a mother saying, "Now, open your mouth, little baby. Mommy's going to give you a spoonful." Brethren, open your hearts and say, "Lord, feed me." That's what Mary was doing here. Notice another contrast in their attitudes. You know, when I preached this message 2 weeks ago in Texas, I said just one sentence in passing. And it wasn't even in my notes. What I said was this: Martha is an example of a bossy feminist, and Mary was a godly example of what the Bible calls a meek and quiet spirit. After the sermon, I wondered, people came up and they asked questions, and one woman came up, she'd been recently converted. And she came and was trembling, and finally she wept, and I got out my handkerchief and wiped away her tears. And I said, "How can I help you?" She said, "You were talking about me. For years I was a bossy feminist, and God saved me and transform me. And oh, I want to have that meek and quiet spirit like Mary. You know, I just threw that sentence out and it hit a target. Maybe it'll touch someone's heart here today. Be like Mary, a meek and quiet spirit. You can look that up in 1 Corinthians 14 and in 1 Timothy chapter 2. A meek and quiet spirit that wants to be taught. Someone else said this about Martha and Mary. If with meek and gentle Mary of Bethany, we take our seat at the feet of Jesus, we shall certainly learn and continue learning so long as we lovingly linger there. I like that. Lovingly linger at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't setting a clock. She wasn't saying, well, the meal's almost ready. She would have stayed there all day long, lovingly lingering with Jesus. What a privilege. I asked people, what scenes would you like to have seen in the Bible? And are there any events where you wish you could trade places with someone? You know, like Moses parting the Red Sea. You ever wanted to trade places with Mary at the feet of Jesus? Now, in this other time, she was anointing his feet, and we'd like to trade places. But have you ever felt, boy, I'd love to have been like Mary at the very feet of Jesus, seeing his face, hearing his words, so close you could have reached out and touched him. Again, this is an important detail here. We should want to be like her in our attitude. And brethren, though Jesus is unseen and untouched by us now, we can enjoy this privilege spiritually. When we pray and when we open the Bible, we are like Mary of Bethany. Now, but there's another thing here. There's this privilege. And in John 12, she touched his feet. In Matthew 28, she held his feet. You say, well, what's special about that? Well, those are the feet of Jesus. She anointed the feet. The next day, his feet would have nails driven through them. But there's something else. She touched the feet of Jesus. So, this was Jesus, God in the flesh. Tonight we're going to do a study on the Ark of the Covenant. God said, you don't touch the Ark or you die. The Ark was a symbol of God's holiness. This was God in the flesh. God said, nobody can see my face and live. She saw the face of God in the flesh and lived. She touched God in the flesh and lived. Don't you see the unusual mystery in that? Why? Why wasn't she struck blind? Why wasn't she killed on the spot for daring to touch Jesus? I tell you, it's for this reason. Because Jesus came in humility and in love in such a way that, you know, it says in the Old Testament, nobody can see me and live. When you saw Jesus, nobody could see Jesus truly and die. Nobody could touch Jesus and die. By touching Jesus with the arm of faith, you live. Mary saw these realities. Do we see them? We would love to have been there, but in a way we can now. When we read the Bible, when we pray, when we hear preaching from the Bible. Now, I hope you have learned that mysterious lesson. When you hear a preacher preach, don't just listen to him. Listen to God speaking to you through his word, through the preacher. Some people don't do that. They go home and they have roast preacher for lunch. They say, oh, did you hear what he said? He mispronounced the verse and he quoted this and that. Yes, I know. I make mistakes. I'm very aware of that. But have you learned to listen to the voice of Jesus through me as I preach the Bible? And when you do that, you're beginning to be like Mary. And don't be like Martha and get distracted. Yes, I know, even in church, it's easy to get distracted. Maybe some appointment on Tuesday, or you're worried about a sick child or something like that. Set aside those concerns when you hear the word of God preached and when you have your devotions. You see, Mary was not concerned about what was happening in the kitchen. Martha was. Don't get distracted. And don't miss being here. God has ordained the Lord's day for the Lord's people to come and be fed. Jesus showed up there What if Mary and Martha were not there? Or what if Mary was but not Martha? They would have missed the blessing of Jesus being there. We should always be in the house of God, even when you travel on vacation, find a good church to attend. But some people, they sleep in because they were up late the night before when they should have gone to bed earlier. And so they make an excuse, well, I'm just too tired to come to church. They may not only miss a message that was specifically for them. Let me also throw this in. This is hot bread from the oven. This is not in my notes. God has a way of touching someone's heart in an unexpected way in every message. You can nod amen because I've been there and I say, oh boy, that preacher, he is touching me with that thing that I said, just like that statement to that lady down in Denton. God may be saying something to you specifically today, but if you're not here, it misses the target. But not only that, brethren, God sometimes visits his people in a special way. On the Lord's Day, a holy moment, a great visitation. In fact, the Bible uses that phrase, a visitation. You remember when Jesus was both rebuking and weeping over Jerusalem? Why? He said, you have missed the day of your visitation. He came to Jerusalem, and what did they do? They turned on him. They missed. This was God in the flesh. Mary didn't miss the day of her visitation, but Martha was missing it. Now, what I'm saying is this. Sometimes God blesses his people, not just individually in the preaching of the word, but in a special way where they all feel God is here. Have you ever been in such a church service? Well, you sense God is really here today. I can just reach out. I almost want to close my eyes. He's so near. But if you're not here, you miss the blessing. I'll tell you about such a time, and I've rarely mentioned this to people. It was when I lived in Texas many years ago, and I wasn't pastoring at the time, but I was leading a weekly Bible study on Saturday nights, and just a small group was there. And one Saturday night, Jesus showed up. And it's like that verse in Luke chapter 24 where it says, Jesus appeared to the apostles, and no one dare ask who it is. We sense Jesus is here. And as we studied the word, we all had tears like, this is so real to us. And then when we sang a song and ended, it's like, well, he visited us. Maybe you've been in services like that. A week later, one of the ladies that usually came to the Bible study said, well, how did it go on Saturday? I couldn't be there that night. And I said, oh, you don't know what you missed. It was so precious. He visited us. And she says, oh, I wish now I'd not gone to that other thing that I wish I'd been there. Don't miss being with God's people when God's word is preached. You see, Jesus promises to be with his people when they gather in his name. Don't miss that visitation. There may be a very special visitation someday. Well, this was a special visitation for Mary, but Martha missed it. Don't you miss it. Beg for these holy moments when God visits us. Again, Martha heard with her ears, but Mary listened with her heart. One of the Puritans, Thomas Manton, said this. Martha was careful to entertain Christ in her house, but Mary to entertain him in her heart. All the difference in the world. We should be like Mary. You see, brethren, it's not just a matter of how good the preacher is. I know I'm not the best, but the attitude. Someone once said, a hungry man will eat anything. A hungry Christian will still get something good out of even a weak sermon. Mary wanted to get as much as she could. We should be like Job. Job said this, Job 23:12. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's kind of like what Mary was saying. Martha, who cares about the food? This is Jesus. That's the attitude we should have. Get as close to Jesus as you possibly can. Verse 42, Jesus commends her for choosing the right portion. Now that's important. He says she has chosen the best portion. Meaning that was a deliberate act of her will. When Jesus showed up unannounced, what went through the hearts of Mary and Martha? Completely opposite attitudes. Mary immediately said, I want to be with Jesus. Just kind of ignored everything else. We should deliberately choose to be with Jesus. And sometimes it takes that deliberate act of the will to say, I know it's busy, but I'm going to read the Bible right now. I know I've got a lot of other concerns, or maybe I don't feel like it, maybe I'm sick. I'm going to pray right now. That deliberate act of the will, like Mary. There's something else. And again, you have to think Jewish. Sitting at Jesus' feet, the rabbis would not have stood for that. Because in those days, they said, the Torah, HaTorah in Hebrew, the law of God, that's for the men, not the women. We can throw them a few scraps, but they weren't allowed to sit at the feet of the rabbis. That was for the men. Here Jesus was welcoming her. But there's something else. Think Jewish. Here's another one of those undesigned coincidences that God designed. Can you think of another place in the scripture where a woman sat at the feet of another person, a man that was not her husband? You remember Ruth and Boaz? She came to town working in the fields and caught Boaz's eye and said, you know, she's not only beautiful, she's godly, she's hardworking, cares for her mother-in-law. Ruth said, he's available, he's godly. How does she make a move to say she's available? Look it up in the book of Ruth. Old Naomi says, well, honey, here's what you do. After that party, he's going to be resting, go and lay down at his feet. That was a Jewish way of saying, here I am. And he got the hint. Guess what happened? They later got engaged and got married and lived happily ever after and became the great-great-grandparents of David. In other words, it was a custom where she was saying, here I am. This is kind of what Mary is doing in the spiritual realm, not some natural romance, but she is saying, Jesus, you are my heavenly husband. I am laying down at your feet. That was the Jewish custom. Martha wasn't. We should be like Jesus. The Bible says we are his bride. We should get at his feet and say, Jesus, here I am. Fill my heart with your love. Jesus commended her for choosing the best portion. That word is often used elsewhere in ancient Greek for a portion of food. What was the better portion that she chose? Jesus. The great Greek scholar A.T. Robertson, who taught for many years at some little seminary down in Louisville, Kentucky, said this, the best dish on the table was fellowship with Jesus. Think of the places in the Bible where it says, the Lord is my portion. When God led the Jews into the promised land, said, okay, now cast lots and see which tribe gets which portion of land. Okay, Judah, you're the biggest, you get this portion. Ephraim and Manasseh, the half tribes, you get this portion. And then portioned it all out, and the Levites said, well, what about us? And God said, well, you don't get any land. The Lord is your portion. Notice the word, the Lord is your portion. Brethren, the great portion God gives us isn't property, isn't land. Is not money, but it's the privilege of God himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. Two last lessons. Mary learned this lesson. Time spent with Jesus is never wasted. And time spent with Jesus is more important than time spent working for Jesus. Martha could have said, but I'm serving Jesus. I'm working for him. Good for you, Martha. God has given all of us a gift in a ministry, some special area we can serve him. But time spent with Jesus is more important than time spent working for Jesus. There are many people in various kinds of ministry, very active in evangelism or doing things like this, visiting the sick, acting like Martha. But they have lost the lesson that you need to spend time with Jesus in order to serve time serving Jesus. Listen to him. Commune with him in your heart at the feet of Jesus. Are you like Martha? Or are you like Mary? Or are you like neither one of them because you don't know Jesus? If you're not a believer in Jesus, come and believe in him. How? Like Mary, submit before him. Listen to his words. Believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Brethren, may the Lord feed our hearts from this portion of his word so that we too would be like Mary at the feet of Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, what a delightful little story this is about Jesus and these two sisters. Help us to be like Mary, at your feet, listening, lovingly lingering there, and then also to serve you in the ways that you have called us. Now, Lord, as we sing, begin to prepare our hearts for the Lord's table where we can sit at your feet and be fed by you. In Jesus' name, amen.